If you're a good practicing alcoholic, you've got to develop those kind of skills. There's no way that we could live with ourselves if we had to honestly see what's going on when we're out there doing our thing. But you see, we don't have to do that, because we can use those resentments, distort the picture, transfer all blame to them, make ourselves as pure as the driven snow, and go right on living the kind of life that we want to live. And we men go from woman to woman to woman, and you ladies go from man to man to man, and we go from job to job to job, and we go from city to city to city, and country to country to country, and it's always their damn fault. God, that's like to kill me when I saw that. And I thought, well, is this the only one on this thing? Have I hurt these other people too? I looked at the Internal Revenue Service. What did I do to set that in motion? Well, it became obvious I was cheating on my income tax, and they caught me. Yeah. And all they're doing is trying to put me in jail for trying to steal from them. I put it in motion. Now, was I selfish when I did that? Was I dishonest when I did that? You betcha. Let's look at old Rose there with Joe. Yeah. Joe, what did you do, if anything, to set that thing in motion? He was doing the same thing I was doing, and Rose caught him. And Rose said, to hell with him. If he's going to do that, then I'll do it too. And she went out and did it also. Was he selfish?
Yep.
Was he dishonest?
Yep.
Was he inconsiderate?
Yep.
You betcha. My whole list of names, 152 names, I never found a one that I hadn't done something to them, made a decision based on self which hurt them. They, in turn, retaliated against me and created pain and suffering for me. I, in turn, resented them for doing so and played it over and over and over and gradually transferred all blame to others. That's the truth behind my resentments. That's a moral inventory when I saw the truth behind these things. It was all me. I did it in the first place. Now, yours, you may have some that you didn't do anything to set it in motion. But in my case, there was not a name on there that I myself hadn't set that thing in motion. And for the first time, I begin to see, looking out in that fifth column, if I stay selfish, if I stay dishonest, if I stay self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate, I'm going to keep right on doing the same old things. I'm going to keep right on hurting people. And they're going to retaliate, and I'm going to resent, and eventually it's going to cause me to get drunk. Just think. If I could become just a little less selfish, don't have to get perfect, never will, but if I could become a little less selfish, if I could become a little more honest, if I could become a little less self-seeking and frightened, if I could become a little more considerate of other human beings, maybe I wouldn't do those things that hurt other people. Then they wouldn't retaliate, and then I wouldn't resent, and then I wouldn't get drunk over it. For the first time in my life, I saw in the fifth column what I had become through living a life run on self-will. I always thought I was a pretty damn good guy. I just drank too much. And when I looked in that fifth column and saw how selfish I really was, how dishonest, how frightened, how inconsiderate I really was, for the first time, it damn near made me sick when I saw that. But if I could get just a little better in those areas, then just maybe I wouldn't be hurting people. Now, what we're really doing here, we're in the process of doing step four. This is the resentment part of it. In the fifth column, I now see the exact nature of the wrong that I'm going to talk to another human being about in step five. The resentment is the wrong. That's what blocks me from God. But what's the exact nature of it? The exact nature of something means what's at the core of it. What's the inherent characteristic of it? What's the truth about it? So I see there the exact nature of the wrong, my selfishness, or my dishonesty, or my inconsideration. That's what we're going to talk to another human being about in step five. Also in the fifth column, I see the character defects that I'm going to become willing to turn loose of in step six. Knowing full well if I don't and stay that way, I'm going to get drunk sooner or later. Also in the fifth column, I now see the character defects I'm going to ask God to take away, the shortcomings, in step seven. And quite naturally, in column one, in my case, all of them, in your case, part of them, were people and institutions I've harmed. I'm going to take them off of column one, add them to a sheet to be used later on for steps eight and nine. Have you ever seen anything any more simple? I've got all the information I need for steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, resentment wise. Did we make a list of dirty, filthy, nasty items?
No.
Was there anything too complicated?
No.
Was there anything to be afraid of?
No.
And you can do this in a matter of 2 or 3 hours at the most. If you just sit down, take the sheets, and do it. It's a very simple process with a very positive happening. Now, I hear some of you saying, and I hear good, I can hear awful good. I hear some of you saying, well, Charlie, that's probably all true for those people that we did something to them to set it in motion. But how about those that hurt us and we didn't have anything to do with it? How about those that hurt us when we were kids growing up? How about that physical, mental, and sexual abuse that we suffered when we were kids growing up? And ladies, make no mistake about this. You're not the only ones that got hurt in that area. I don't know how many fifth steps I've taken with people, had them take it with me, and I've never had a man yet that didn't have some of the same crap when we were kids growing up. How about those kind of resentments? Aren't we justified in having those? I guess we are if we want to get drunk. But a justified resentment blocks you off from the sunlight of the Spirit just as fast as an unjustified resentment does. Because if we're resenting them, justified or unjustified, they're controlling the way we think. They're controlling our decisions, they're controlling our lives. And we give those people power to actually kill us. It doesn't make any sense to let somebody hurt me 10, 15, 20 years ago and let them hurt me every day for the rest of my life. And as long as I'm resenting them, they've got me. They control what I think, and they control what I do. So if you've got one of those resentments, and I don't care what it is, if you got one of them, for God's sake, put it on this sheet. Put down the name of whoever it was. Put down what they did to you. Put down the part of self that was affected. In the fourth column, put down what you did, if anything. In this case, you just put nothing. But then in the fifth column, let's look at it very carefully. Because if we got one of those resentments, knowing it might get us drunk, and we still don't want to get rid of it, then we must be using it for some purpose. Are we so dishonest with ourselves that we refuse to see the truth about it? If you got one in your head today, it's not true. I'm going to say that again, it's not true. Oh yeah, it started with truth. But if you've played it over and over and over, you've distorted that picture. And it really doesn't resemble very much of what actually happened. See if we're so dishonest we don't want to look at the truth of it. See if we're so afraid of facing life without it that we don't want to get rid of it. You see, we can use a resentment to rationalize and justify not doing something we really ought to go do. Or just as importantly, rationalize and justify doing things that we shouldn't be doing. The lady in the story in the book, she used her resentment against her mother to justify everything. She used her resentment against her mother to justify her marital failure. Bull. Mama didn't cause that marital failure. She used that resentment to justify her lack of education. After all, if mother hadn't done that to me, I could get an ed bull. She could have gotten an education if she really wanted to bad enough. She even used that resentment against her mother to justify her alcoholism. It's all mama's fault. Bull. I'll tell you why she became alcoholic. She kept drinking whiskey. Mama didn't pour it down her, but that's the greatest excuse in the world. I could have been this if it hadn't been for them. Or I wouldn't have to do this if they hadn't have done that to me. And if you got one of those, we're probably using it for some purpose, and we're really afraid to get rid of it for that reason. Let's look and see if we're so inconsiderate that we fail to recognize the fact that people that do things to us like that when we're kids growing up, they're not necessarily bad people. They're sick people. They didn't necessarily do it to us. They would have done it to anybody in that shape or in that position. If we could even begin to realize that, just maybe, we could start a forgiving process. Maybe we could get rid of that resentment. Maybe we could straighten up a relationship with another human being before it's too late to do so. And if you really honestly look at it, I think you can get rid of those kind of resentments also. And if all else fails, by God, we can pray for them. And that's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing in the world to do is to pray for somebody that hurt us in those kind of situations. But we got to remember when we're praying for them, we're not praying for them for their benefit. We're praying for them for our benefit. And if we can get rid of that resentment, then we can be happy, peaceful, and free in those areas too. This thing really does work.